Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Time to hit the skins here on 106.7 The Fan. Training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
All right, Cakes. I don't know, guys. This might be a two-segmenter. It's so good.
Because
we've got some audio of DQ. Mm-hmm. I got PFF lists. I've got NFL Top 100 lists.
I
think I want to maybe go through the schedule another time. We got a lot.
All right.
We got a lot.
A lot of ground to cover.
We got nothing but time.
First, let's go to DQ yesterday.
DQ.
I know that my guy Matt Valdez has audio of him talking about Jaden Daniels and Jamie Davis. Let's start with Jaden. All right, it's going to work.
I saw, I thought he had a really strong day, a lot of completion, good throws. When you get into the red zone, there's, you know, kind of two things that can happen. There's a first play and then a second play that can take place. And so seeing the guys get outside the pocket and move a little bit, I thought that was good. You know, all the quarterbacks were able to get outside and get going. So that was a byproduct of having the red zone come in. The communication happens faster, the throws happen faster. So I thought it was a good way to get started.
I'm intrigued by that because to me, that means the second play that could potentially take place is Jaden taking off and running with the ball and improvising either on the run, like finds a target late in a progression or just tucks it and runs. And then all of a sudden he's in the end zone for 6 with his legs, which is a big reason why they drafted him.
He's a stud, Cakes. Played big time college football.
On the biggest stage.
On the biggest stage.
Yeah.
3-time team captain. All the ability in the world.
Yep.
Passing all the tests so far. It's reason to be excited. There's reason for optimism.
Everyone's saying good things about him so far. It's only been 4 or 5 days.
He was convincing a diva wideout like Malik Nabers to show up at 5 o'clock in the morning for extra workouts.
Right?
Right.
I mean, if you can do that, you're a leader of men.
He's got Brandon Ayuk all on him. Like, Brandon Ayuk, yeah. I mean... If you
Brandon
think about
Ayuk
it,
is slurping some Jaden Daniels.
Think about it.
Yeah, there's a lot
like
of that.
Brandon Ayuk is all over him.
Yes.
So
that's his guy.
Some good signs.
Well, all right.
Just don't
pull
be
back
jealous.
The covers.
Don't be jealous.
Brandon Ayuk is going to slurp over whatever quarterback is throwing to him as long as he gets paid.
All right. That's a very good
Justin
point.
Justin Jefferson.
Hey, right. He wants to get paid, of course, but he, you know, he's not running around
I know
with
that's
your
his
boy.
Boy.
He's
I'm,
not running around with
yeah,
your
he's
boy.
He's not pounding around with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
not shopping with Purdy.
Well,
that's
together.
Because he's pissed at Brock Purdy's bosses.
He's not hanging out with Brock Nerdy. He's hanging out with Jaden Daniels.
He'd much rather have Jaden throwing him the pill.
All right, so
don't be bitter. Don't be bitter.
I'm not bitter, but the guy just—if he gets paid like a top receiver, he's going to be talking about Brock Purdy.
All right,
Eric, would you rather right now have Brock Purdy or Jaden Daniels as your starting quarterback?
Ooh, I have a real soft spot for Brock Purdy.
I think I know the answer.
I think Brock Purdy's really good. That's a very
tough
question.
I know my answer.
I know what your answer is.
Jaden Daniels. I don't know. I think Purdy is real close to being established.
I think people are
waiting for Purdy to turn into whatever, Cinderella
or pumpkin.
Whatever the thing is.
Right.
Yeah. He's the real deal.
Again, I feel like he's more of a byproduct of a very safe San Fran system with a lot of amazing talent around him.
That's true.
Can he play? Yes. Would he play to the level he's playing in San Francisco anywhere else?
I think not. If he was at Carolina where he had limited weapons. So,
well, I think everybody would struggle with less weapons.
But for whatever reason, it just all
fits. It's a great fit.
But there, San Francisco is in a predicament. I mean, I call it predicament, but I mean, he's led him to a Super Bowl.
Right.
But they're going to have to pay him probably in the mid 200 million range.
It's the same sort of thing the Dolphins are going through right now.
Right.
Like they
maybe more.
They have to pay Tua, but they're reluctant.
Because every time a quarterback signs... The next quarterback up, unless he's just a bit player, gets paid a little bit more.
I think I've seen it. You could just say it's all scheme and it's all everybody but him. I think I've seen something where like his his QBR or whatever for passes 20 yards or more downfield, mm-hmm. he's like number one in the NFL.
And a big component of that is Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's his deep threat.
Here, Eric, here's another one. Would you rather have Jaden Daniels mm-hmm. or Jordan Love? Jordan Love only has really one season of established
play. I'm not as sold on Love, but he has done it at this level.
I'm pretty sold on Jordan Love. That would be tougher for me.
I'm not sold on him.
I mean, he had a good year last year.
I'm not saying he's bad. He's not bad. But it's just 1 year. When you don't do it 1 year, I'm not, I can't.
Yeah.
Can't be all in.
But again, he's young. He's learning as well. I mean,
I think Jordan Love, I think if he plays in all 17 games, he's going to be right around 35 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He had 30 last year.
Yeah, maybe a little more.
Three rushing.
So you would take Jordan Love over Jaden's potential.
That one's closer for me than Purdy.
Purdy, over, for sure. You
I just
take
don't
Jayden.
Think Purdy would is ever going to have the upside of a guy like Jaden Daniels with the dual threat.
No, I don't think Purdy's going to like the 6'3", league on fire.
He can't run
He doesn't have the same like makeup.
It's kind of a perfect fit for Purdy.
But I did see Purdy bulked up during the offseason.
But Purdy's
some muscle.
Look, Purdy's not going to always have Trent Williams blocking for him and McCaffrey.
Understood.
And, you know, Ayuk and Kittle.
Right.
So, but it's an interesting question.
Now, if Brock Purdy ever leaves San Francisco and plays at the same level as he did with the Niners, I'll eat all the crow. Just give me five plates of it. But I need to see that before I start anointing him as like a top five or top ten type of quarterback in the league. I still have questions.
All right, let's play DQ talking about my guy. This is my sleeper. I'm going to give Jason credit for just from day one. Being all over the Eckler signing, if that plays out, I'll give you credit. You've been
Thank
all
you.
Over that.
I think if he's gonna. I think he's gonna have a good year.
If Jamin hits, I want the credit. Okay, get the back padding machine
yeah,
out.
It's right there,
laying the foundation.
If he has six or seven sacks or more, yeah, I'll give
and
you
it
credit.
Starts having impact.
And he's in a different
games.
Role.
Yeah. So here's DQ talking about Jamin.
Yeah, Dave. That's one of the positions that I spoke about to have multi-position work and. Will continue to do that with him. He's got speed and length, you know, like an outside backer does. So you need work at it. And it's not something that I'll know in 1 or 2 days. So we'll work all the way through to add another pass rusher to a group that adds depth, that adds value. So you'll see him some in some third downs and some 2 minutes, you know, working off the edge just to keep pushing the what else can we do? How else can we feature players? And Jamin's a perfect example of that, Dave.
Saw that Ryan Kerrigan is kind of taking him under his wing, mm-hmm. teaching him some pass rushing chops. Which
What's the other clip
you, like
that you have, Valdez? Is he talking about Kerrigan in this clip or
no? No, no, no. I think this is with, it's more on Jamin.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Coming into it, Donna, I wanted to find out what were all the unique things that he could. So in the spring, all right, I want to see him guard a tight end. Now I want to see him guard a back. And then now let me see as the pass rush goes, how do you utilize this size and length that he has? And so part of that, you know, experiment to see, let me see more rush. What about from the end of the line versus blitzing from off the ball? Those were the traits that I was looking at. And what's nice is having a guy like Ryan Kerrigan here that can work very specifically on the skills that we're going to ask Jamin to do. So you'll see him before and after practice. So sometimes you're going to see small moments like in micro teaching sessions for 5 or 10 minutes a day with somebody that over time, Donna, can add up. When you keep doing that over and over, your skills are going to continue to increase. And so Ryan and Jamin are closely connected because when you have to play more than one position, there's a burden that comes with the player. And so that was probably the more difficult part of how to train somebody that plays two positions rather than identifying that. In basketball, how do you have a five that can carry, handle the ball? You don't just put them into the same drill. And so how do you work that and discuss those? So Ryan has been an integral part of Jamin's development as an end-of-the-line rusher because when you keep experimenting and moving around, that's where you find out.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Your confidence is growing.
I call this day one. I want this machine now. Can I have it?
You always have it. You're right, you act like we right. take it away from
day one. The day they announced Quinn, I said, well, maybe they're going to turn, Jamin could be our poor man's Micah. I mean, I call
there
it
needs
day,
to. I know, but there needs won. To be some sort of repercussion for
right. Because if he sucks, you lose it forever.
No, just enough. No, I can't lose it forever. I'd just be, you know, embarrassed. Be wrong.
I wanted him to talk about Frankie Louvu a little bit more. Is anybody asking about Frankie Louvu, my newest neighbor?
He's a little under the radar.
You love the fact that Louvu's your neighbor.
He's
now.
My neighbor.
Yeah.
Right. Walk by his house every day with the doggy.
Right.
Yeah.
He's gonna become my boy.
I'm sure he is.
But I mean, he was one of their. Was he their first?
Hey, if
was it their first free agent signing? The biggest
if
one.
If he wasn't the first, he was like the first.
He was first or
two
second.
Or three. Yeah. Be sure if Luca poops, especially on his lawn, you better have a bag to clean it up.
Well, of course, I clean it up on every.
I know you do because you're a responsible dog owner.
Yeah.
But you don't want to leave a dog poop on
Frankie Louvu.
On Frankie Louvu's lawn.
No.
Like that probably wouldn't sit very well with him.
No, because we're going to become boys.
Yeah, you're going to become tight.
But I just want the media to start asking about Hey, Coach DQ, how's Frankie Louvu looking?
Well, I mean, just because he's your buddy now,
you could swing by now. Training camp and ask Coach yourself.
I could go today.
You could,
but I'm not.
That's correct.
All right, so we've done these top.
I gotta go get a rangefinder.
100 lists.
Rangefinder more important.
Yeah.
Than
recently,
camp.
And I remember making an argument for a couple of these guys. There's a new one out. I guess this is the NFL.com's top 100 list, and there are some skinny slash commanders on
That's
the
right.
list. Did you care to guess? Or have you already seen?
I've seen
Jason,
it. I can try to guess their number. I think McLaurin came in at like 97 or 87.
All right, now you're getting into the detail here, okay?
And Jonathan Allen, I think it was like 59. He was in the 50s.
Jonathan Allen was 52 last year. He is at 54.
Okay.
All right. You mentioned McLaurin.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
McLaurin is definitely in there. It's not jumping out at me at what number he is. Bobby Wagner is the third. He ranked 59.
Okay.
Okay.
So I got him mixed up with
and
Allen.
He was at number 62 last year. I don't know. How come I can't see what McLaurin's number
McLaurin is? McLaurin was either like 97 or 87, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
He snuck in there.
So they say two more commanders have joined Terry McLaurin on the NFL's top 100 player list. Remember, I remember advocating for Bobby Wagner. I remember in particular Matthew Cahill over there saying just because he got a bunch of tackles doesn't mean he's a top 100 player. Obviously, the folks at the NFL, whatever, agree with me, not him. I like that.
It's a legacy placement.
Right. Oh, it's a lifetime achievement award thing?
100%. You'll see.
I'm excited.
You'll see.
I'm excited. All right. I got so much here. I want to go through this PFF list because I think it's kind of interesting. And then I do want to do the schedule bit.
We don't have time for both. How could we have time
Let's
for both in one segment?
Two segments.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, let's do the schedule definitely in the next segment.
Let's do the schedule. All right.
Okay.
Just I don't even know how to do this. All right, so PFF has put out an article here where they have the best commanders, the highest rated commanders of the pro football focus area. So let's just go through some of the big name positions,
all right?
Who do you think is the highest rated, and we'll say for, it looks like the PFF era is from about like 2007 on, okay?
Okay.
That's what I see.
Yep.
Maybe it's earlier, but that's the earliest one I see on this list. Who do you think is the highest rated, who had the highest rated year at quarterback?
So this is from last year?
PFF. No, this is from the all-time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What all-time commander had the best PFF year?
From 07 to now. It's got to be Kirk or Robert. Is it Robert in 2012?
It's Robert 2012.
Okay.
He, his 2012 PFF grade was 81.7. What running back had the highest PFF of all the running backs we've had through here from like 2007 on?
From 07, Alf?
Alfred Morris. He had a 91.3 grade.
I mean, he had an amazing year in
2012.
Yep.
Right. Remember, he carried that
team. Sure.
And then Robert got hot.
Yep.
Name three the three highest rated receivers. You don't have to name the year. Just the three highest rated receivers in the PFF era.
Tana.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
No.
Pierre?
Yes.
Pierre's one. Who else?
He had an 86.2 PFF grade in 2016.
Terry McLaurin?
Terry McLaurin in 2019 had an 86.1.
All right, is the third one like...
The third one's a little bit of a curveball because you don't think about him that much. Put it this way, he was a versatile guy. Wasn't very good at returning kicks, in my opinion.
Antoine Randle-L?
You got it. Antoine Randle-L got an 82.6 PFF grade. Mm. And I'll do one more. The highest rated offensive lineman.
Trent?
It's got to be Trent.
It's not.
Not Trent?
Chris Samuels in 2007 had a 93.5 right. PFF grade.
He was definitely a stud.
In 2007. So anyway, if you're curious, maybe we can put a link to that. We can tweet that and you could check that out. The highest rated Commanders / Redskins in the PFF era at each position.
We'll continue to hit the Skins next go around. Skins training camp, Commanders training camp. John Feinstein will join us coming up at 8 o'clock.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.